again. I really appreciate just the good spirit that I sense here this morning. Do you sense that? Just a sweet spirit, a calm spirit. And the message today is about God's agenda, God's plan. You know, just what Jason was saying, and different things have been said. We have our own agendas, but God has an agenda. And the struggle, it deals with that. Fears that we have, sometimes it's because we're afraid of what God's agenda is. Because it's not following along our agenda, what we want, and we really can be very, very strong in what we want in life, out of life, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as it's in the will of God, right? Yeah. And if we're honest, we know that we don't always have His will in mind. We have our own things going on. Our own hopes and dreams and the fears come in because of all of this stuff. I felt like the Lord wanted to point us toward His agenda. And there's lots of things that get in the way in a personal level, but also things that happen in the world that are problems. I want to start it with this particular scripture, and then we're going to get into the heart of the message. In Luke 21, we're looking at a description that Jesus has about the near the end of the age, and this is in verse 25 and 6. This is what it says. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of the nations. Now we have enough of our own internal things that are going on, the fears that we have, our insecurities, our bad reactions and feeling guilty about them. It displays the whole social gamut of things. And then on top of that, we have the distress of nations. Isn't that one? And it says, with perplexity. I don't know if you have noticed, I do know you noticed, but that word perplexity means no way out. You see no way out. You are overwhelmed with a situation or groups of situations and what's going on in this world, and you see, man, I don't see a way out of this. And you know what that does to you and me? Oh my gosh. When you think that there's no answer to this problem, doesn't that just kill you right in the middle of your being? There's no way out. How's this ever going to work? How's this problem I'm having? Now, and I don't have a problem with my wife, but I'm going to use, I wanted to just get that out there. How can I get this problem with my wife resolved? I don't see any way out. You know, and boy, that really can work on you in your relationship with that person, can it? And you can apply this in any way that you see. You have a problem within yourself. There's any numbers of things that can happen, and you and I can feel overwhelmed. No way out. And it's this life, this world is coming to a culmination of this age, and it's even going to be worse with the distress that's in the nations, which means it's going to impact us. And above everything, if we get so focused about how things are impinging on us, be in big trouble in our minds. And it's going to take having, getting our minds set in the right way. Well, what is God's agenda anyway? And I want to talk about that. Because we really do, as we're going to walk through this life and finish off this walk at the end of the age, our focus needs to be in the right spot. Because if we're only looking for God to relieve us of all the things that are wrong in our life or the things that we want to see happen, and that's the only place that we are, we're going to have a very hard time making it to the end. It's not going to be very pleasant. And I know one thing about walking with Jesus. There should be joy in our hearts. Shouldn't there be?
Yes.
For the wonderful things that He has done. Right?
Yes.
And the thing that gets in my way is my own wants. We are in tremendous need. And I hope, and I think I saw this here at the beginning of the service, is that we can't be afraid that we can bear our faults with one another or our fears with one another, because there's not one single person here that's perfect. Is there? And this is important for us. There is no judgment in this house for other people. When somebody says something, well, I have this fear, I have that fear, do we sit there and we judge them because they have that fear? No, we don't. And we shouldn't. We're here to be an encouragement to one another. That's part of who we are and should be, right?
Right.
You know what's really something? So when somebody says, has the courage to say, all right, here's a fault of mine. That takes a lot of courage. Maybe more so for men than women, I don't know, but to say that I have this fault, I have this problem, I have this fear. When somebody says that aloud, has the humility to say it out loud, and trust themselves to the rest of the body of Christ like this. Every single person in here is right behind that person. You know, Marie, she's saying, a little concerned about coming up here and doing the communion, right? Now, you know what? I'll bet you every single one of us, when Marie was ready to step out in faith and say something, We were, amen, amen, sister, we're with you, we love you. It doesn't matter what you say, it's your heart, and we know your heart, you know. We can just take encouragement, can't we? And you can take encouragement that when you need to step out in faith, you're going to get the same kind of support and encouragement too. But this is really important. God didn't make Marie get up there. God didn't make Marie say yes to Reggie about getting up there. God moved on Marie and else. Moves on people, tries to influence us and encourage us to step out where He wants us to. But we are also part of that by accepting it. And that takes a step of faith. God didn't move her mouth. She did. But she's moved on by the Spirit of God. Right? And then she's obedient. This is what it means to walk with God. We can know things, but we need to walk in them. And that requires steps of faith. Right?
Yeah.
Steps of trust. Amen?
Amen?
So, with all the distress that's going on in the world, added on to our own personal misgivings and feelings and fears and all of that, The enemy wants to use that to keep us weazened, crumbled in, fearful, doubtful. And the more that you and I stay in that place, the easier it is to live in that place, isn't it? And it does take a step of faith to step out of that, doesn't it? It took a step of faith for her to get up there. Right? It takes steps of faith for that to happen, to do God's agenda, His plan. And God has overarching plans, and He has personal day-to-day plans for each of us. And it is important to know God's overarching plan so that the day-to-day plan we understand is flowing toward those end goals that He has for us. He has a plan for all of us. You believe that?
Yes.
Yeah, do you?
Yes.
Say that again.
Yes.
Yes. You understand that you're in God's plan. He has an agenda. He has an agenda for the church, and He has an agenda for you as an individual in that church. Isn't that great?
Yes.
And a number of us, all of us probably, go, well, what can you use me for? And here we are with our agenda, our way of thinking, and we diminish, we short circuit God's agenda for you as an individual, you as a family, you as a member of this body, us as a member of the body universal, right?
Amen.
We all play a part in this agenda that God has. And so I'm going to just say to you, what do you know in the overarching, I'm not talking about day to day right now, what do you know about, well, what is God's agenda? What's God's agenda for this world? Tell me. I mean, I know you know a whole bunch of stuff, right? Tell me one thing. Tell me one thing that you know that God has on His agenda. It's His plan.
Make all
he wants
things
all to come to know Him as Lord and Savior, and that He loves them.
He would like all to come to know Him. Amen. God wishes that all would come to know Him. Right? That's what it says. And be saved. That would be what His plan is. But God, because He loves us, wants us to love Him back, and we have to make a loving choice to choose Him or not. Because we're not robots. He wants love. He loves us. He wants us to love Him back. He knows us. He wants us to know Him back. Right?
Yes.
Through our choice. That's why choice is important. I'm going to talk here a little bit about sovereignty and choice in a second. Somebody had something else. Brian, did you have...
I just said that He's going to create all new.
Yeah, He has a plan. He has a plan that He's going to change things. He's already starting to change us. We're a new person in Christ, aren't we? We're a new creature in Christ. That's part of His plan. That requires transformation on our part, doesn't it? The transforming of our mind, our habits, the way we look at other people and situations, right? Okay, anything else? What else do you know about God's plan?
Christ will return.
Jesus is going to return. This being who we adore, love, thank for all that He's done, we are going to see Him face to face. Literally, in not some little nebulous kind of thing. It's not poetic. We are going to see Him face to face. Every single one of us is going to stand before Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The one that we put our hands up to and we pray to, he's just as real as right here, me touching Brian. It's going to be that real. It's not some metaphor. And to know that's part of God's plan. I'm gonna see Jesus face to face. I'm gonna see the Father. I can already sense. I already got down payment in me. I got the Holy Spirit in me. As a seal, I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. And it says in Ephesians 1 that this is my earnest money from God. It's my down payment of even the greater things that are going to happen. He gives us the Holy Spirit so that we know, hey, all these other things that's in His plan, they're going to come about. And we can rest in that. And I'll tell you, resting in what we know about God's plan really helps us to deal with the distress and the heartache and all the other misgivings that we have about this life. The enemy wants to use it to create doubt and unbelief and discouragement and despair and all those other things. But that doesn't have to be for us, does it? The world is going in that direction. But we're not going to go in that direction if we continue to choose Him and trust in Him. Know His plan. Know what His agenda is. We won't be surprised when things are crumbling all down around in this world. And believe me, they're going to. God's grace has held it off. But it is going to happen because God said it is. I wouldn't believe that if it wasn't, I wouldn't just look at the events in the world and say, oh, well, everything's falling apart. I would trust that, things are going to get better. They kind of, they go in cycles, There's good times and there's bad times and there's good times and there's bad times. And if that's how you look at it, you think, well, we'll get out of this like we've gotten out generations ago and you just go through all this stuff. But God tells us in His Word, there's going to come a time when there isn't going to be a return to that. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And this world, God's going to take back the restraining power and all hell, evil, is going to move in this world at a much stronger and faster pace. Now, that shouldn't make us fearful. We already know that's part of the plan. And He has something to say to us about all of that. And He tells us that we need to be ready, right, for the things that are coming. Now, maybe we'll be out of here before all the worst of it, but maybe we won't. Jesus does tell us to watch and be ready and be prepared. So something's coming up where the church is around, right?
Amen.
So, let's just be cognizant of this. All right, so something else. I just want to grab a hold of a couple more points here. What is part of God's plan?
To strengthen us.
Oh, yeah. We have. He's doing something inside us, isn't He? Mm-hmm. And it's not always pleasant. The situations that we have to face in life. I end up saying something like this, fear comes in right away. As soon as I say this, I feel this little fear. Oh God, I don't want to have to face something that I know I have to get worked out of me. You understand what I'm saying? We're afraid of the very thing that we know that we need. And we all can admit that. Yeah, that's right. This is the stupid, weak person that we all are. Thank God we have one another. And more importantly, thank God that we have the Spirit of God within us.
Amen.
To lead us and guide us through this. God wants to guide us through these things. He loves us. He has given us a provision to be where the weak can be made strong. Right? Where the hurting can have joy. I mean, if that doesn't just want to make every single one of us want to serve Him with all of our heart more and more, I don't know what could. He's a loving God.
Yes, he is.
You know, and we have an enemy that wants to bring distress and tell us, well, what kind of God would do these, what kind of God would allow this and this and this to happen? I mean, that's an age-old thing, isn't it? There's sin in the world. And there are consequences for sin. And God isn't going to just band-aid all the stuff going on. Well, this is the consequence. And we're coming to the end of the age where it's even getting worse. You believe this, don't you? So what kind of people ought we to be? See? People that are afraid of it all? This wasn't just a coincidence that the whole thing about fear came up. Because for us, I said this before in Jeremiah 12:5, if we can't run with the footmen, if we can't run with the soldiers, how can we run with the horses? If we can't handle smaller things, when things get worse in this world, how are we going to handle that? And God, knowing what His agenda is, His plan to bring about the end of this world system, this age that is horrible, what it's done to people. You know that? If you know anything about history, it's a horrible thing. And God's bringing an end. And He's going to bring an end to this age. And our focus, I hope, is going to be on that kind of thing. Yeah. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles, and this is the key scripture, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2. This is what it says. If you then be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. You know, talking about lifting up our eyes. Right, Heather? I think in your prayer for the, to see things, to see what God is doing, to have our eyes lifted up unto Him. Set your affection, which means focus your mind, on the things that are above, not the things that are on the earth. Now, this can become a little confusing, because God doesn't want us to all be off in some corner, only praying all the time, and only be concerned with that in that kind of way. We have to relate in this world. We're still in the world, though we're not to be part of that world system. Right. Not accepting the way things are. We're supposed to be, if we look at some of the things that are part of God's agenda, the church is supposed to be the salt of the earth.
Right.
We're supposed to be the preserving power. We're supposed to stand against evil. Yeah. Right?
Yep.
Now, yes, it takes being in a corner, in a prayerful attitude, but it also takes more than that. We have to stand up to evil too.
That's right.
At the right times, in the right way. Amen.
Amen.
So this is important for us to see. Now, the song about going into the Holy of Holies. What's that called?
Take me in.
Take me in. Yeah, take me in. Take me in. We want to go into the Holy of Holies. We want to stand before God. We stand in His presence during worship, and that can be here, and that can be at home, and whatever. That is one aspect of having our minds focused on things above. But there are other things that are involved with having our mind fixed on heavenly things. And one of those number of heavenly things are going to be some of the things we've already talked about. Well, what's God's agenda? Let's put our agenda aside. Let's put our fears about what's going on in the world or in my family or whatever. And what's God's agenda? This doesn't mean that we're not supposed to take care of the things of this life. But we do have to realize that God has an agenda, and that's what's more important. Yes?
Yes.
God will take care of our agendas.
Amen.
We need to be having our minds that's focused on His agenda, what His plan is. And we know that God wants people to be saved. So God does that all by Himself? Oh, no, He doesn't. God wants the church to be the salt of the earth, a pillar of truth. Does he do that in a very sovereign way, or does he expect us to do something? How does that, we're the body of Christ here on the earth. What are we the body of Christ for, right? But to be His willing vessels.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, He's sovereign, and He moves in a sovereign way by Himself in the things of this life, but He also moves in a sovereign way through His church. How many of you believe that? Do you believe that?
Yes.
Because that, if you believe that, then you realize that God's agenda gets accomplished as much through us being listening to Him and being obedient.
Yes. Yes.
It isn't just magic, all in the spirit. God does things in this physical world.
Yes.
Doesn't He? We didn't talk about the millennial kingdom or how his agenda is to gather the nations and judge the nations. He's going to do that. Wow. It's brutal what's out there in front of us, what's still to come. It's brutal. And we can't be naive and Jesus is just wonderful. Yes, He is. And that's what allows us to be able to face that. We need to face what is up there in front of us. And not put our heads in the sand and say, oh no, everything is just wonderful in this world. No, it's horrible in this world. And people aren't going to treat you the way you would treat them lots of times. Right?
Right.
That's the way it is. And then our character gets developed on how we respond to all these situations. And that's all part of His agenda, isn't it? He wants us to be transformed into the image of His Son. This is a message for mature people. Who can hear a message that says, come on, face the reality of what's ahead of you. Look and see what my agenda is. Get with the program. I will keep you and protect you and bring you through. But what you and I need to do is to be listening to what He's telling us. Not assuming things. Not taking one scripture and basing the way we're going to proceed with the Lord on one or two scriptures. But what the whole counsel of Scripture says. And that that requires somebody that wants to be mature enough to handle and face what is out there. That can face it and say, yep, this is what's going on in this world, and it's not a good thing. And Lord, I want to serve You. I want to know what Your plan is, and I want to be able to be part of that. Mm-hmm. I think all of us here want to be.
Yes.
Right? Okay. I I think it's very important for us to see that it's God's power, it's God's strength working through us that accomplishes the things. But the effectiveness of who we are as individuals in Christ or us as a body really depends on how much we really are listening and obeying God. Right?
Yes.
That's really an important thing. It's not just hearing, but it's doing. That isn't what gets us saved. We're already saved. That gets us to be disciples that can be used of the Master to everything that He has planned for us. Yeah? That's our choices. I think everybody here is saved. But are we going to continue to have a listening ear, to continue in the day-to-day, to be able to do what He wants us to do? Because we can miss the mark. Can't we? Or do we just always do whatever the will of God is, even when we mess up? No, that's not God. That's not the will of God. He wants us to listen to Him. And he will use, now this is important to understand, He's going to use our fears and misgivings and our mistakes and missing the mark. He will use that to teach us so that we make the choice to turn from that and go more toward Him. Right? He's not making us do the wrong thing. That's not the will of God. But God, in His love, will use our mistakes and get us going in the right direction if we will allow that to happen. Not everything that happens is the will of God.
Whoa.
I hope that shakes it a little somewhere. Not everything that happens, you know, otherwise we'd all be saved. Because it's the will of God that all would come to believe. That's what He wants, but not everybody does. I never really thought of that until, what was it, four or five years ago. Glenn brought a little message he probably didn't even realize it. He brought this thing about God doesn't always get His way.
Right.
And I thought, what do you mean, Glenn? What are you talking about? And then I thought about it, and he gave some examples, and then I thought, and I pondered that for weeks. And I went, Glenn's right. God doesn't always get what He wants. This is what His desire is. He wants all to come to Christ, but not everybody's going to. He has a plan for us. He has an agenda for you as an individual. Are we going to accomplish all of that? Only if we're listening. Only if we're obedient. We'll go as far as we meet with God on it. It isn't just going to happen. Do you understand? This should help us to say, you know, we're in a serious walk here. And if we really love God and what He's done on the cross for us, then we should say, God, I don't really have what's in me to even listen to this or to do this. I need You to help me to be able to do what I'm hearing You telling me to do. And you know, if we ask, we can receive. If we really mean it. And we really reach into God and we're really prayerful and we're trying to hear what the Lord wants. Right? At least we stand more of a chance of it happening. Right? I hope this is encouraging to you because God gives us the provision. But I don't want us, you know, thinking that we have nothing to do with it. We do have something to do with it. And people say, oh no, you know, we have nothing to do with any of this stuff. Yeah, we do. Because God wants love coming back to Him. That requires choice. Doesn't it? I think it's a lazy man's Christianity. He says, God just does everything and I just float. I'm floating, and if God wants me to feel a certain way, He'll give me the feeling. No, I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to read His Word. I'm going to know what His Word says. I'm going to see what God's plans are. And I'm going to say, God, I want to be connected there. And day by day, He will show me the way that I need to go for that day. But it's important that we see that our accepting what, sometimes we have to accept the bad part of life. We're not going to change it. Our little hissy fits to God because things aren't going our way doesn't really move Him. I've noticed that. Have you noticed that? When I get upset with God, and that doesn't seem to bother Him. He said, no, I have an agenda. My agenda, which is above your agenda, takes priority. And you need to conform to me. I will take care of the things that need to be taken care of in your life. You get your focus on the things that are above. You know what my agenda is, see what my plan is, pray to me every day, and get to know what my plan is for you for today. And give your heart over to that. Oh. Okay, Jesus. All right, that makes a lot of sense. Go ahead, Bob.
And if we do that, He says, I will be with you always.
Yeah, that's the thing. If we do these things, when we release ourselves to God, then the very things that we want God to do with a magic wand, which isn't going to happen that way, it's going to happen because we're relating with Him, because we're connecting with Him. And that doesn't mean He's going to do everything that we want Him to do. We're going to do everything He wants us to do. And that's where we're going to get fulfilled. That's where we're standing in the will of God, when we're doing His will. Not us trying to get Him to do ours. Steve, do you have your hand up?
Yeah, I think that's where fear comes in, because I really don't fear His agenda, but I want to know and understand and be aware of what it is so I can kind of fall into line.
Yeah.
And instead of looking at the big picture, I'm thinking about relationships, family situations, work relations, all that stuff. Like, we can't really do much about the world stuff, but in our own individual places, we can make a difference.
Yeah. If you're talking about what's going on in the world, that's true. When I talk about God's agenda, then we need to understand God wants us to be available to give the message of salvation to people when we have that opportunity. That's part of His agenda, isn't it? It's part of His agenda that our character changes, that though we've received Christ, we need to walk in Christ, right? And that's part of the process, and we have to realize that. So day to day, when something happens with a neighbor or with a spouse or whatever, we're going to say, "Oh yeah, this is part of the agenda here. I've got to let get this worked out with this other person." But to me, I look at it like I think about history and teaching or coaching, is that there's an overall picture. You want the soccer players, say, to grab a hold of, and then they understand better. Okay, so in order to get to that, in order to hit that mark, every day we're going to run wind sprints. So that the general thing is, got to be in shape. Going to play soccer, you got to be in shape. All right. Well, if everybody can say, yeah, that's true. Okay. All right. Now the way we're going to get in shape, what's going to happen for that to happen is that we're going to be running some wind sprints today, and we're going to do this drill and that drill, and then the students, understanding the overall, grab a hold of the day to day a little better. You understand? That's what I'm talking about. Not because we can't. We can only control what we can control, and we can't control these. What's going on with the globalist agenda? Because there is another agenda that's in this world. It's a world agenda. It's a global agenda to bring us under world government. It's all part of, and God saw all of that, and He let us know ahead of time. We're going to that particular thing at some point in time. That's going to happen. I know that's going to happen. So do you, because you can read your word and know that that's, God saw that this was going to happen. God didn't make that happen. God saw this was what's in the heart of those who didn't want anything to do with Him. And this is the conflict in this age. And one of the things that God's going to do is He's going to bring it into this age. Thank God. Right? So in all of the distress that's in the nations, and there's a lot of scripture that describes all this stuff. With all this distress that's going to be in the nations, perilous times, we can take hope. God already saw all of this. God has an answer. And God has an answer for us as individuals to walk through all of this.
I'm going to jump ahead to... let me just read you this.
This is Luke 21 again, and I'm going to read verses 34 through 36. And it says this: Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts are overloaded with, let me use a different word, with excess, with overindulgence. Well, one place where that happens a lot is the United States of America.
Yes.
Okay. And drunkenness and the cares of this life. You get overburdened with the cares of this life, so that the day comes upon you unawares. For as a snare, as a noose around the neck. That's what that snare is. As a noose around the neck, it will come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape the things which are going to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. He's going to provide a way. He tells us to watch. He tells us to be prepared for the things that are coming. We can see the things. We can read about those things. We know that those things are going to happen. And so he says, be ready. And you know what? If you pray, see, this is getting back to what Bob said. You know, if we do the prayer, if we do the things that we're supposed to do to be ready for the things that are coming on this earth, then there's a way of escape. Mm-hmm. Now some people say that's the rapture. Yeah, maybe. But maybe not. Maybe there's something else that's involved here.
Malcolm, can I read a scripture?
You sure can.
In Colossians, back in 3.
Yeah.
Down at 12 and...
Go ahead.
Through the end of that, 17. I have a note here, because we've been talking about fear.
Yes.
But I've made a little note. Need to rest in this. Christ is in all. Says needs to rest in this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves in compassion, kindness,
yep,
humility, gentleness, patience, bear with each other, and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. And as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs of gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whatever in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him.
Hallelujah.
And we've been talking about fear. We've been talking about what's coming. But he has so many promises in his word. If we do what his word says,
if we do, yeah,
it brings the peace that we need.
It brings the peace. Absolutely. I want to wrap this up, I think, with in Luke chapter 22. We're going to be in verse 35. I want to say this. We can have a knowledge of the word, and we can take particular scriptures from this word, and we could misappropriate what they say. And it's important to understand that we can't just, when we're seeking God and wanting to know what His plan, what His agenda is, and not our own, that we have a real full counsel of what He really is saying. And we don't want just one scripture to lead us down a particular path. We want to be very careful about that. And I want to read this to you because if you just read verse 35, you're going to get one particular idea. But if you go to the next verse, you see that, oh, in some situations, God asks us to do this. And in other situations, God asks us to do the exact opposite. The same God, because it's a different time, it's a different situation. It's different people that are involved. And God says these two different things. All right, in verse 34, 5, it says this. And he said to them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, did you lack anything? And they said nothing. Okay, so when God tells us to do something, we want to be obedient, don't we? Now, if I just take that and say, every time that I go out, I'm not taking money. I'm not gonna have extra clothes. I'm just gonna do what God told me to do way back then. And I'm not listening presently to God. I think I already know what God wants to say to me. But look what it says in verse 36. And then he said unto them, but now, you get this? But now, he that has a purse, let him take it. Likewise, a scrip, and he that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. In one situation, he says, don't do that. In another situation, he says, do that. Because it's according to his agenda. Isn't it? It's his agenda, not our agenda. And we can't take this and say, well, this is God's agenda for everything. When we see that, oh, in other situations, it might not be that way. Right? So, you know what that requires us? Every day listening. Isn't it? We need to know what God is speaking right now. We need rhema. We need what God is speaking today. And that requires an ongoing relationship with God. We're praying to Him, we're worshiping Him, we're reading His Word, and we're asking Him to lead us and guide us so that we can do His will, His plan, His agenda. Amen.
Lord, we thank you today. We ask, Lord, that we would be people that would be obedient to your plan. We want to. We thank you for what you've already done in your plan and saving us through the blood of Christ, giving us your Holy Spirit. We're looking forward to the time when Jesus will come back and judge the nations, and we look forward to the millennial kingdom. We look forward to doing all things between now and then by allowing you to work in our character in our relationships with you and other people. Lord God, bless us that we just be well-rounded, we not be overwhelmed with all of this, but that day by day, we just have an ear that hears what you're speaking to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Malcolm.
Yeah.